నారాయణ నమస్కృత్య నరుం చైవం నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతి వ్యాసం తితో జయం ఉదీరయత్ నష్ట ప్రయేష్ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయ భాగవత ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ హరే కృష్ణ. సో దిస్ మార్నింగ్స్ టెక్స్ట్ ఇస్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటు 4 విచ్ ఇస్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ది క్రియేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫోర్త్ ఆర్డర్ చాప్టర్ 20 లార్డ్ విష్ణుస్ అపియరెన్స్ ఇన్ ఎ సాక్రిఫిషియల్ అరీనా ఆఫ్ మహారాజ్ ప్రీతు టెక్స్ట్ 34. Okay, so here's the text. Maitreya uvacha iti vinyasya rajasya pratinandhyata vadvacha pojito nugrihitvam tantum chakre chito matim. Word for word translation by Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya Vacha, the great sage Maitreya continued to speak. Iti, thus, Vainyasya, of the son of King Vina, Prithu Maharaj, Rajase, of the saintly king, Pratinandya, appreciating, Artha Vad Vacha, the prayers, which were full of meaning. Pujita, being worshipped. Anugritva, sufficiently benedicting. Enam, King Prithu. Gantum, to go from that place. Chakre, made up. Achyuta, the infallible Lord. Matim, his mind. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead amply appreciated the meaningful prayers of Maharaj Prithu. Thus, after being properly worshipped by the king, the Lord blessed him and decided to depart. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The most important in this verse are the words Pratinandhyavatatvacha, which indicate that the Lord appreciated the very meaningful prayers of the king. When a devotee prays to the Lord, it is not to ask for material benefits, but to ask the Lord for his favor. He prays that he may be engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet birth after birth. Lord Chaitanya therefore uses the words Mama Janmani Janmani, which mean birth after birth, because the devotee is not even interested in stopping the repetition of birth. The Lord and the devotee appear in this material world birth after birth, but such births are transcendental. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord informed Arjuna that both he and Arjuna had undergone many, many births previously. But the Lord remembered everything about them, whereas Arjuna had forgotten. The Lord and his confidential devotee appear many times to fulfill the Lord's mission. But since such births are transcendental, they are not accompanied by the miserable conditions of material birth. And they are therefore called divya, transcendental. Somebody needs to mute their phone, I think. Hare Krishna. One must understand the transcendental birth of the Lord and the devotee. The purpose of the Lord's taking birth is to establish devotional service, which is the perfect system of religion. And the purpose of birth of a devotee is to broadcast the same system of religion or the bhakti cult all over the world. Prithu Maharaj was an incarnation of the power of the Lord to spread the bhakti cult and the Lord blessed him to remain fixed in his position. Thus, when the king refused to accept any material benediction, the Lord appreciated that refusal very much. Another significant word in this verse is achuta, which means infallible. Although the Lord appears in this material world, he is never to be considered one of the conditioned souls who are fallible, who are all fallible. When the Lord appears, he remains in his spiritual position, uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord expresses the quality of his appearance as Atma Mayaya, performed by internal potency. The Lord, being infallible, is not forced by material nature to take birth in this material world. He appears in order to re-establish the perfect order of religious principles and to vanquish the demonic influence in human society. Oma gina timidandestya gyana gina shalakaya chakshu unmilitam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swaha padantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri guru vaishnavamscha shri rupa sagajatam sahagana ragunatam vitam tansajivam sadvaitam sahavadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Larita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sicha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Paramami Hari Priye Vanchakalpati Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyabari Paschatya Desitarini Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gurachise Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya, Himabhya Divacha Vishchandaraya, Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So I will repeat the translation. The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead amply appreciated the meaningful prayers of Maharaj Prithu. Thus, after being properly worshipped by the king, the Lord blessed him and decided to depart. Hare Krishna. So, this is an important text in this whole meaningful, very, very, very transcendental, the Lord does everything transcendental, that's why we say in transcendental, appearance of a Supreme Personality of Godhead, where he came because of Maharaj Prithu, and of course all assembled there also, in the sacrificial arena. So, Maharaj Prithu has prayed, offered meaningful prayers, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, when very highly evolved saintly people offer prayers, devotees, those prayers have far-reaching meaning and also consequence, sometimes even consequence. So this is an example for all of us about the importance of Vandanam. And we have 9 processes, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering, and the 4th is Vandanam, prayer. Many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam, very highly elevated devotees of the Lord have offered prayers, wonderful prayers, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For example, Lord Shiva's prayers that he gave to the Pratitas as they went to do their austerities. And that were prayers to Lord Vishnu, just like it's the same here also. So Maharaj Pitu has offered prayers, and the Lord has appreciated, amply appreciated the meaningful prayers of Maharaj Pitu. So, as the text is saying, after being properly worshipped by the king, then the Lord blessed the king and decided to depart. This is a short sentence here, but there's a very deep meaning to this. Maharaj Pitu was worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead with prayers. The Lord was pleased with Maharaj Pitu, who was by himself a Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord. And the Lord blessed him. Don't we all desire blessings from the Lord? Yet, through prayer, we can get blessings. What kind of prayer should a devotee be about? The prayer which is requesting for service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Loving devotional service. It is our life. And it's also what saves us in so many ways. Earns us the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the blessings from the Vaishnavas also. When the person thinks about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like Rupa Goswami has asked us to do, always think of the Lord, never forget the Lord, then the Lord always is near. Sometimes we talk about devotees being Uttama Adhikari first, Madhyam Adhikari second, Kanishtha Adhikari third. I don't know whether the Lord sees it as first, second, and third when a person just says Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what we mean is, the prayer of this Maha Mantra is so powerful. The potencies of the Lord are vested in those prayers, as Lord Chaitanya says in Srisri Shaktika. Therefore, with good intention and sincerity, any personality can pray strong devotional prayers topped with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is our life here. If we want to feel the Lord's closeness, this is what we do. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, most important in the verse, in this verse, are the words Patinandya Tabat Vacha. And that indicates that the Lord was very appreciative of the meaningful prayers of the king. When a devotee prays to the Lord, it is not to ask for material benefits, but to ask the Lord for his favor. He prays that he may be engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet, birth after birth. So, when a devotee prays to the Lord, it's not to ask for material benefits. So, in the last few days, about a week or so, the same kind of realizations have come to mind, and we'll share it here also. There was a lecture given, this is about 8 days ago, so Sunday, not this past, not yesterday, but a week back. And the text, also from Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, gave the impression to many people who were listening in the temple, Harrisburg Temple. A good percentage of the devotees that come to the Harrisburg Temple are well off, high-tech devotees, mostly Indian-bodied devotees. So the money is there, at least unless they are spending beyond their means, they are living quite comfortably. I know their houses, big houses, and so on, nice cars, it's there, expensive ones. And some of them also live fairly simply. Again, it's your choice. Now, there was a discussion which kind of ties in with this. Material benefits, well, I don't know whether they ask for it or not. I hope they don't, but they certainly do have it, though. They have quite a few material things, you know, you can see in their lifestyle. It is quite deceptive sometimes. The devotees may also feel that we are okay because Krishna has provided us quite a bit and we are enjoying ourselves because of the houses that we have. And look at other people's houses, they're not as big as ours, they're not as well decorated as ours, their cars are not as expensive and you know fancy like ours are. Now, that is Maya's trick. And that's what came in that discussion. That is Maya's trick. Maya is using good living in the material world to make us think that we are so okay that we don't have to worry about going back to Godhead because this place that we live now is providing for us rather nicely. Srila Prabhupada has always said we are in a suffering condition. From Brahmaloka. From Brahmaloka, never mind the earth. The earth doesn't have the things Brahmaloka has. But from Brahmaloka to Pataloka, the lowest of the heavenly planets, all are places of suffering. The fact of the matter is, if you're not in the spiritual world and living as a conditioned soul anywhere in the material world, you are in a suffering condition. The only thing is Maya is so crafty that sometimes he makes us think that we are okay and we're not suffering, when in fact we are. And so, Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture one time and said, okay, so, people who are well off, what do? Well, they work. You have to work in this material world. So, you work, and let's just say United States, people who earn over $100,000, six-figure people, or even sometimes a million, businesses that go to $1 million and so on. But whoever owns it has work to do. And because there's good money, sufficient money, as Srila Prabhupada used his words, bank balance, he likes to use the word, you know, the two words back, bank balance. So sufficient bank balance, they can get all of their bills paid, no matter how large they are. They can get them paid, and there's money left over. And so they have good savings, and even after a while, they would be, you know, able to take whatever vacations that they want to take, because there's money left over for that. We're talking about a typical rich person's life. And that's true for even if a devotee or non-devotee. If the money is there, it's possible to do this. Of course, devotees are expected to use it more responsibly. But the point that Srila Prabhupada was making in that lecture that kind of was the basis of that talk on 8 days ago, the point Srila Prabhupada was making is, so you go to work, you have to work hard. So you make money, but you work hard though. And he was expressing that point. Krishna doesn't have to work hard. Okay, someone's phone is on, so I can hear noises in here. Could you please, quite a bit of noise. Could you please *6 to mute it? Or if somebody can do it too, that would be good.
Yes, Prabhuji, I'll try to mute from my side.
Okay, all right, thank you. So Srila Prabhupada was saying, this rich person is able to pay all his bills and he has money left over, and he can take whatever vacation around the world that they want to take. And so they think they are enjoying. This is good life, good living. But Srila Prabhupada said, that's still a suffering condition. And the reason he gave is, but Krishna does not have to work. That's the big difference. Krishna doesn't have to work. whether he's here on this particular planet in India having his pastimes, or simultaneously continuing in other universes, or back in Goloka Vrindavan, or even as Narayan in Vaikuntha, he doesn't have to work. So then he made the analogy, you guys work here. Do you think, see, you're talking about having a great time. You're wealthy. So as a wealthy person, do you think Krishna goes to work like you do? Gets in, I'll say exactly how he said it. He gets in at 10 o'clock in the morning. Gets in at 10 o'clock, works through the day, and at the end of whatever period of time that the paycheck is supposed to come, they get a paycheck, and Krishna pays all his bills, and then some is left over, and then he goes to Radharani and says, well, I have this extra, so let's go have a good time. Is that how Krishna lives? This is how you live. And you say you're living well. But Krishna doesn't have to work. You have to work to get all this money and pay your bills. And what's left over is when you go have some vacation, have a good time. But Krishna is having a good time the whole time without having to work. And then you reminded us that that's the way we live back in the spiritual world also. We also don't work. So now we have a good time the same way Krishna has a good time without having to work. So then, when you think about that, you realize that everywhere you go, you have to work. In this material world, you have to work. Therefore, you suffer through work. But in the spiritual world, you don't have to work. And you still enjoy with even greater facility than the material world can provide. So who's having a better time? The person in the spiritual world or you that are working and trying to make money and pay all your debt obligations? And then the rest that's left over, having what you call a good time. In the meantime, disease gets us. Nobody gets sick in the spiritual world. In the meantime, old age is coming. Nobody gets old in the spiritual world. So how is it that Maya is able to make us think that we're doing well here just because we say we're rich? And that's the one that, I mean, I'm lost here. How can we ever say we're okay? And so, in other words, that came to my mind after I heard Srila Prabhupada say that and make this, you know, this analysis, then I realized Maya has done a pretty good job of making us think that our life in the material world, just because we have money, is actually so okay that we don't even have to think about the way life is like in the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada also said, we simply have forgotten what it is like in the spiritual world. We simply have forgotten. And so anyone that is wealthy, we're not even talking about poor people now, anybody that's wealthy and really appreciates the fact that they have wealth and therefore they're doing okay in this material world, is most unfortunate indeed. Because two things have happened. They are ignoring the fact that the body is breaking down. Birth, old age, disease, death. They are miseries. And they're totally, totally disconnected from life back home in the spiritual world. Krishna has created a beautiful, wonderful lifestyle for all of us as Him being the enjoyer and we being the enjoyed. We are all not having to work. Oh, but then there is work. Huh? We're talking about spiritual world still. What kind of work? The only work there is to prepare for the next party. That's all. That's all. One wonderful activity after another. That's all that's there. Prepare for it. Have a good time. Next thing. Prepare. Have a good time. Prepare again, have a good time. So one thing after another. One wonderful party after another. I'm using party in a general sense. After another. This is what's there. And that's the soul. We want to enjoy. Even here in the material world, why people make money? Because they want to enjoy. That is the nature of the soul. But why are we trying to enjoy in a place where it is not possible to enjoy? And that's why when we say we are enjoying in the material world, we can only say Maya did a great job of fooling us into thinking that enjoyment is here in the material world. It is never here. It may be difficult to convince non-devotees because they don't know anything about the spiritual world. But devotees should never ever think nothing here is worth pursuing except Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhakti Yoga topped with the Yuga Dharma, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That's all that's necessary for this human body to take most seriously. Nothing else is important. Nothing else comes close. Because everywhere in the material world, there is suffering. So Srila Prabhupada continues, the Lord and the devotee appear in this material world birth after birth. But such births are transcendental. The Lord and his devotee, they come not because they are being relegated to the jail, because this place is a house of correction, the whole material world is that way. They come because the births are transcendental. Of course, two reasons. To excite the devotees, the Lord comes, and also to annihilate those who are causing trouble in this world. And speaking about causing trouble, there is so much happening now, but we won't start on it just yet. Maybe we'll come back to that. We're talking about what's happening internationally in this particular planet. Now, to continue, Srila Prabhupada says, the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord informed Arjuna that both he and the Lord had undergone many, many, many births previously. The Lord remembered everything about them, whereas Arjuna had forgotten. Because this was a situation where Arjuna, being a friend of the Lord, initially, Arjuna is a servant of the Lord, just like we are servants of the Lord, but serves in a relationship as a friend. And the Lord is the Lord, remembers everything. The Lord is omnipotent, omniscient. And at this point, this is just example here, Srila Prabhupada is talking about Krishna and Arjuna. Of course, Arjuna was bewildered because all of these assembled, so 640 million Kshatriyas were going to die. And so Krishna had to inform Arjuna to look at it at the transcendental level. The soul is the real person. The soul doesn't get killed in war or in anything. Never happens. Soul does not die. The soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna does not die, the soul will not die. But the body, that definitely perishes. And so birth is the body being the soul taking birth, or the soul going into another body and that body coming out of the womb of the mother of that particular species. So that can go on and on and on and on. The cycle goes on and on and on. And so Arjuna was being told by Krishna that so many births have happened. Because of course Krishna just appears. Arjuna comes with him. Many births. In fact, some of the soldiers are also undergone many births. If they just hang around in the material world, they also undergone births. And this is another one that they were going to be killed. But of course, this was a special case because Krishna was around. And so for them being delivered and going back to the spiritual world, there was a high chance of that because of that particular world with Krishna being there. The Lord, Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord and his confidential devotees appear many times to fulfill the Lord's mission. But these births are transcendental. They're not accompanied by the miserable conditions of material births. So they're called divya, transcendental. Srila Prabhupada's own birth, in 1896, he was born 4 years before 1900. His birth was also transcendental. He's a pure devotee from the spiritual world. And he was born to come to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's mission of the holy name being spread in every town and village on this particular planet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. which he did wonderfully. And we still are in connection with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada's mercy also has come through by allowing us a chance to go back to the spiritual world, chanting a minimum of 16 rounds and not 64. 64 rounds are the rounds that are supposed to be done daily by a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. Yet, from the Lord's pure devotee's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we can do one quarter of it and still, as long as we're not offensive, as long as we serve sincerely from the bottom of our hearts, get opportunity to get Krishna's mercy. Now, not long ago, let me see, today is Monday, so 2 days ago, Saturday, I was at Potomac Temple, Potomac, Maryland. It's called the ISKCON DC Temple. His Holiness Bhakti Chiru Swami gave a program in honor of my spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Theta Swami. So His Holiness Bhakti Chiru Swami came, and I had undergone some medical work, so after that I was also in the Virginia area, so I stopped there. Fortunately, a good part of the program was still not unfolded yet by the time I got there. So I heard some lectures from him. This is directly in the temple room. And one of the things he mentioned was quite interesting. The transcendental activity that we're doing now, which is called Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is transcendental. Even if we use material things we offer to the spiritual master, it's immediately spiritualized. So everything we do, even though we are the position that we are as conditioned souls, it's still transcendental by the mercy of the Parampara. Now, so Maharaj was saying, this is Bhakti Chiru Swami, that Bhakti Yoga for us can be quite challenging. In fact, the word he used was difficult. It's difficult. Why? Well, see, Prabhupada says it's a simple system. You chant Hare Krishna, you have prasadam, you dance, kirtan. Yes, that's there. But the problem is, initially, our minds don't help us very much. Our minds are still connected with Maya, and sometimes we get to do things, or we are put into the temptation of doing things that we know are not good for Bhakti Yoga. We get into, sometimes we get offensive and all of that. So that, those are some of the things that get into or obscure the path of pure devotional service. So in that sense, clean pure devotional service doesn't come to many of us. On top of that, in these human bodies, we have imperfect senses. Now, how do you perform things perfectly with imperfect senses? So, we are already at a disadvantage. And so, devotional service, for some of these reasons, become difficult for some of us. That's why association is very important in order to not only hear words of Guru and Sadhu, but also encourage each other. Now, so, the analogy that Maharaj gave was, to try to make $1 billion, this is with a B, $1 billion yourself is difficult. Starting from wherever you're near now, many of us are not billionaires, so to get to $1 billion, it's going to take a while. And so it's a difficult process to embark on. But it can be easy when you have a billionaire that decides to just give you the money. So on one hand, if you try to work for it, you're going to struggle a lot. You might not even get there to become a billionaire. But when a person with multi-billions gives you $1 billion, you're immediately there. And so the point Maharaj was making is, on our own, trying to be pure devotees is going to be a difficult thing. But the Lord owns everything. So the Lord can give us mercy. When the Lord shows His mercy and gives us purity or helps us, like Gautitanya was doing, just giving Krishna prema, because that's the aim of a devotee, hands it to us. So that's the descending system. When we're trying to ascend to $1 billion, That's difficult. But when the billionaire already has more, he just gives us, hands it to us, well, then we have become billionaires. So that's what is there. The system that we embark on now, devotional service, is to sincerely serve and to follow the Lord's do's and don'ts so that He'll have mercy and hand us the $1 billion so that we're qualified to go home. That's what we're involved in here. So when we are enthusiastic, and some of you are on this, I don't want to, you know, some people will get put on the spot, they might feel a little embarrassed. But I sense enthusiasm in the voices of good many of the Matajis here on this program. It is such a huge, huge, huge step forward to stay enthusiastic in devotional life. As Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami informs us, enthusiasm is extremely important, because enthusiasm in any situation is what impels us to do whatever work and do it with relative ease, because we're excited about it, excited about what we do. So enthusiasm is extremely, extremely important in devotion service. And hopefully, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and all our gurus, that enthusiasm will be maintained in this particular service that's being done here in Everyday Chant. Will be maintained. It's extremely important for that to happen. So when we do devotional service with sincerity and enthusiasm, then the billionaire Krishna, well, Maharaj, remember, it says, Krishna's not a billionaire. Was he a trillionaire, quadrillionaire, zillionaire? He owns everything. So for him, the $100 billion is nothing to him. All we have to do is earn His grace and mercy. And that is doing things to make Him satisfied. And this is what Maharaj Prithu did. He prayed meaningful prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord was very satisfied with Maharaj Prithu, appreciated Maharaj Prithu, and blessed him. When the Lord blesses us, we have been handed the very thing that it takes for us to go back home. And hopefully now we understand that even a rich person is fooling himself or herself if he thinks that he is satisfied with life here in the material world. It is not possible. Only people who don't know their left from their right, transcendentally or spiritually, think that anything in the material world here would make them happy. So Srila Prabhupada continues, one must understand the transcendental birth of the Lord and His devotee. The purpose of a Lord's taking birth is to establish devotional service, which is the perfect system of religion. Now, the Lord takes birth to establish devotional service. And Maya is busy working hard, you can look at it that way, because it seems that way, working hard to get people to get away from devotional service. This is why when someone comes to ISKCON or to this path and leaves, it really hurts Srila Prabhupada's heart. And I'll tell one story. There was one devotee, he used to come around. This is the time, the early years of ISKCON. So Srila Prabhupada was the only spiritual master, and everybody was relatively young that was his disciple. And I forget the particular person's name, but he used to come around. He was mentally challenged, and the devotees knew that, and so they kind of tolerated him, but they didn't really associate with him very much. And one time, Srila Prabhupada knew he was there, so one time Srila Prabhupada did not see him in program, and he asked the devotees, where is he? Where is this particular devotee? And then they told him that that devotee had committed suicide. Srila Prabhupada became very grave. Of course, you can tell his face, very disappointed. And he immediately, in front of all the devotees, began to pray to Krishna. He said, dear Krishna, I would like to request that this particular devotee immediately take birth in the womb of one of the devotees here, so that he may be returned to be with us again. I've kind of paraphrased it, but that was the meaning of the prayer. Srila Prabhupada told the disciples after he prayed like that, it is extremely important that we take care of all devotees. He said, Krishna, or he said, Lord Chaitanya has sent this particular devotee to us, and somehow we did not, for lack of a better word, do justice to him or make him feel comfortable, and now he's gone. So the prayer this Srila Prabhupada prayed was for this particular devotee to be returned immediately. Now, normally when someone commits suicide, they get put in a ghost body, and they will be in the ghost body for the period of time that is allotted to them here on the earth that they should have lived before dying. Whatever, however many years that's left, they're going to go through those years in a ghost body, the subtle body. And from what we understand, being a ghost is extremely difficult. It's a very miserable life. So, he was fortunate that Srila Prabhupada prayed that the transcendental system rearrange his situation, not put him in a ghost body, but bring him back. It's miserable here. Sometimes, the only thing, now we talked about wealth and they say people are in a suffering condition, so let's just put a little bit more on this. So yes, some people are wealthy. Wealthy people who are devotees should feel extremely, extremely fortunate that life has been made a little bit more manageable, because that's all that money does. It makes life a little more manageable. The United States and other countries that are called materially developed countries are not making life enjoyable. They are only coming up with one convenient item after another to make life a little more convenient. But convenience is not enjoyment. Convenience may bring some satisfaction, but that's not enjoyment. Spiritual world, they enjoy. Here, we don't. And so, when life has been made a little bit more bearable, that's the time to take Krishna consciousness most seriously. Maya would make us think that we should take our money and go have sense gratification somewhere. But the devotee should understand that life has been made a little easier on them. They're not enjoying. It's just more convenient. Therefore, this is my time to take the process so seriously that I go from a convenient situation back to the real situation in the spiritual world, rather than from a difficult situation back to the spiritual world. So that's the only thing that wealth does. It makes life a little more convenient for us to take advantage of it that way. That's all. So the purpose of a Lord's taking birth is to establish devotional service, which is a perfect system of religion. And the purpose of a birth of a devotee is to spread that same religion all over the world. Now, the Lord can do everything, but he still likes his devotee to get the credit. And so he has Srila Prabhupada come to establish Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to all the corners of the world that hadn't heard about it, that had been unfortunate enough to not have heard about it. Now, they know. And interestingly enough, not too long ago, that must have been yesterday also, in a conversation with one of the devotees, we were talking about how fortunate that people are that now we have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on this planet at this time. It's just a matter of connecting with it. And devotees should feel most fortunate. One, that they know the mantra, they can say it. The two, the system for bhakti yoga, apart from the chanting, is set up. The three, there's not so much to have to remember, especially about life, the lifestyle, that is not being offensive. That's what stops us. Stay away from offenses. And so much is available now for us to earn the mercy of the Lord in a descending way, if we do take this process seriously, in a descending way. Anyway, so coming back to the purport to kind of finish up and looking at the time. So when Maharaj Prithu, this is another important part, and others have also done the same thing, like Prahlad Maharaj, the king refused to accept any material benediction. Now that's called smart. The king refused to accept any material benediction because the Lord, you know, gave him the opportunity to take any material boon that he wanted. He refused. Why should he want any material benediction? So that what? You become wealthier? Well, we just talked about, or more wealthy, we've talked about it. It doesn't take us back to the spiritual world. And this place is a place of suffering. So to get more material benediction for oneself is useless. So if one gets a material benediction, it should actually use it more for Krishna consciousness. So for devotees who have Lakshmi and Amrish Prabhu is a very good example of that. Amrish Prabhu is connected as a soul to the fortune of the Ford Foundation. So he's connected with Henry Ford, the automaker, and his share of the fortune for the family is in the billions. But he's using the billions to help in TOVP, the Temple of Vedic Planetarium, and other projects. That is a smart devotee. He knows that he's going to leave the body, and when he leaves the body, what can he do with that kind of Lakshmi? So he's using it in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Rupa Goswami has made it simple for us. All right, if we're so attached to our money, then use half of it for projects for Krishna. That's what money is to be used for. A quarter of it, he says, you save for emergency. You live on a quarter of it if you can. We're talking about people who are very wealthy. They definitely can live on a quarter of what comes in. And then the rest has to be used for Krishna service. Now, if you said, you know, for many of us at this point, a quarter of what comes in is not enough to just live on. There are no hard and fast rules. So live decently, because it's important to live decently. It sends the message. It sends the message about Krishna consciousness materially and spiritually. Some people, before they get attracted to come to Krishna consciousness, they don't want to see us as people who are not together. And therefore, if we live a decent life, we live a decent life for that reason, that we can attract people who also see that, or at least they are clean, they are in the mode of goodness, and we live in the mode of goodness, and you know, we don't live like people who are, given up, or taken to religion as an alternative because we can't do anything good materially for ourselves. That should never be the case. This is why Mayapur has been developed the way it's been developed. So anybody comes and sees impressive buildings and Krishna consciousness, he knows that we're not doing this from a poor standpoint. So again, that's another way that, and I know my Guru Maharaj has said that Krishna consciousness and poverty go ill together. One can be renounced, but not poor. Not poor in the sense that they are clamoring for things materially that they don't have. I wish I had this, I wish I had this, or there's not enough, and I'm in anxiety because of that. No, every devotee has to be set in a place, in a position where money is not an issue. There shouldn't be hankering for money. And so for that, then the mind is settled. Materially, the mind is settled. And now, the job or the lifestyle, which is a Krishna conscious lifestyle, can be taken seriously. But let's not confuse the fact that, you know, we talked about being wealthy and we're in a suffering condition with the mind being settled so that we can do Krishna consciousness, you know, lifestyle well. Let's not confuse the two. The thing is, even if we have enough materially so that we can serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees without being anxiety materially that we want something and we don't have, still, we shouldn't be fooled into thinking that because we are able to make ends meet, that we are doing okay in the material world, because that doesn't exist. In other words, we're making the best of a bad situation. Our body is a bad bargain. To be in the material world is not a good idea, because it's a jail. But we can, in fact, get our minds with a little bit more, being settled materially, get our minds focused on Krishna consciousness, because we want to focus our minds on Krishna consciousness. And we don't want things distracting from it. So sometimes poverty can be distracting. And that's why if we get ourselves situated, then the poverty is not distracting, so that we can take Krishna consciousness more seriously. But as a whole on the earth, we better get out. We better get out. Right now, the situation happening internationally, people are very confused. There's riots in Hong Kong, and many other plans are being put by the demons. But Lord Brahma says, "Have a karana karanam." Sri Krishna is the cause of all causes. So, the upheaval that's going on in the world, you can look at it from a transcendental or spiritual standpoint. When a nation becomes very, very powerful, and that nation becomes a bully for other nations, like right now, I want to talk about the United States, trying to dictate what should happen around the world. They've been doing that for a while, and now there's resistance from other countries, China, Russia, and so on. We won't spend too much time there, but the thing is, the world itself, the world, Mother Bhumi, and people who live on, people who live on the earth now, many of them are into sense gratification and into demonic activity. They don't take Krishna consciousness, they don't take God consciousness, not even religion, seriously. And so when more mode of passion and ignorance take over, the Lord will hit the reset button. He will clean out and start over. Now, the Lord does not look at death the way we do. When somebody leaves a body, we are all morose and all of that. But Krishna speaks from a transcendental and acts from a transcendental point. The body is material. We are not these bodies. We are souls. He was telling Arjun, these people are not going to die as far as the soul is concerned. Only physical bodies are going. And so, since people have physical bodies here on this earth, we're talking about human beings, not the animals or lower species, and they have elected to live a life of mode of passion and mode of ignorance, and getting worse by the day, and that becoming mode of passion, mode of ignorance, becoming the in thing the people are about, then after a while, Krishna will just clear those people from here. And so the setup, what's going on now in the political upheaval, the simplest things that they can't agree on, simplest things, is actually a setup to clean house. So that's going to be happening. The house is going to get clean. The house means the earth. The people of the earth are going to get clean. And so when it comes, we begin to talk about, people are predicting so many people are going to die. But 640 million people died in 18 days. And 560 million people died in Prabhat Kshetra. The Lord doesn't look at that. That death is not the same to the Lord the way it is to us. It's a big deal to us, but the Lord is, that's the soul leaving the body and going to the next life if they didn't make it properly here on this material world, or going back home if they made it. In other words, the body is disposable. Death is disposing the body. That's the only way Krishna looks at it. And so we have to prepare ourselves for the changes that's going to be coming. We don't know what time, but people keep saying soon and soon and soon. But even the political system in America at this point, the political system, with Donald Trump being president and people hating him and people being in support of him, we're just asking for trouble. We're just asking for trouble. In other words, I'll be a little frank with you. We're just asking for civil war. This country has a lot of people who have guns. And one set of people are mad because of the way Trump is being treated, and some people think that he should go. So there's already a breakup, and this is exactly what happens when a country gets so powerful and is actually dictating to the rest of the world, and Krishna wants to stop that country. He turns the country over itself, on itself. The people fight their own people. This is what happened in Prabhashetra. Prabhashetra is just Lord in Dwarka, and that was even a good transcendental reason for that war, because the Lord simply wanted those in Dwarka to go back to the spiritual world. Some of them were demigods that took birth there. The story goes back to Dwarka. But they were to go back. Now, what's similar is nobody could defeat those in Dwarka, the Kshatriyas there. They were the most powerful. Nobody could. The Yadu dynasty. So what did the Lord do? Well, he wanted them to go back to the spiritual world. Therefore, the whole thing of, you know, Samba and talking to, dressing himself as a woman, and, you know, going to the sages, and he said, asking the sages, in American terms, a dumb question of what kind of child is going to come, when in fact they had put only cloth in this Samba, and of course the sages can tell. Now, the Muni was there, and he said that he'd give birth to a lump of iron, that would be the destruction of a dynasty, and this, you know, the story goes on and on and on, how things unfolded. Maharaj Ubhyasen tried to prevent it, that didn't work, and they wound up fighting. But Krishna had them fight each other so that they would leave the bodies and the souls would go back to the spiritual world. But the analogy here is the Yadu dynasty was the most powerful, just like the United States is the most powerful. And Krishna, one of the ways in which he has the most powerful leave or stop being the most powerful, or if they're causing problems, is to have him turn on each other. Turn on each other. So we're not saying that it could, I mean, oh, it is going to happen, but it could happen because Lord used it before. He used it before, even in Dwarka, and you see, Dwarka residents fighting at Prabhashetra. But for us, there's nothing to be scared about. This is not our home. So for us, we're just preparing to go home. Whatever happens, what we've described here may be the scenario or may not be the scenario, because there are other people who want to be as powerful as the United States. They might fight the United States. They may not fight the United States. The United States has gone into a situation of political turmoil that may lead to civil war. It may not lead to civil war, but it still doesn't matter. If it happens or it doesn't happen, we still will die anyway, because nobody stays here on this earth. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Birth, death, old age, and disease. So we have to prepare ourselves, but don't get too bent out of shape. Even though we talked about a political situation, we always have to keep the focus going back to Godhead and taking as many people as we can back to Godhead by involving them in Krishna consciousness so they can also start their journey back to Godhead. So the Lord's devotee, the Lord himself comes out on the earth to establish bhakti, and the Lord's devotees spread bhakti all over the world. So that is something that we should take seriously. You're doing here. Nagu Maharaj said, think globally. You can act locally, but you should think globally. Like Zia Maharaj said, you think globally. It's ISKCON, after all. It's an international society. So we are to re-spiritualize the entire planet. And that is a process that we should take very, very seriously. In our own way, if we take our own bhakti seriously, it has effect on others. Because people watch us, what we do. So if we appear, they don't understand what we do, but at least they know that our activities are in the mode of goodness, they will know that we are a good society, and that will make all of the effort, the Srila Prabhupada, his blood, sweat, and tears to get, and yes, there were tears, that's a whole story, we won't get into that, to get the society to come up to this point in order to serve the Lord. So let's do our part so that in the end, the Lord will be pleased with us, and just like the most wealthy person, hand us in a descending order the mercy so we can get back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, here's the translation again. The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, the Supreme Personality of Godhead amply appreciated the meaningful prayers of Maharaj Prithu. Thus, after being properly worshipped by the king, the Lord blessed him and decided to depart. Hare Krishna. Jai. Gosi Srila Prabhupada. So now we can unmute our phones and have discussion and questions especially. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions?
Hi Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Wonderful class. On
Krishna's mercy. Guru's mercy.
How to manage wealth management, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Very pragmatic class. And we are very fortunate we'll hear from you tomorrow again, Prabhu.
Yes,
Come to you, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Guru Maharaj ki Jai.
Jai.
It's so fortunate to have you. Also, thank you to Neena Mataji for connecting. Otherwise, we were thinking what we're going to do, like have a group discussion or something, because at the last minute, the speaker wasn't. So, Prabhuji, one question is coming you were mentioning about Srila Prabhupada, there was a mentally challenged person who committed suicide. So, my thoughts on this was that I don't mean to say that this is not true, but a mentally challenged child is, has got so many committing suicide, a normal person cannot think, of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if I have to commit suicide or something, I'll be like, oh my God, I have to hang myself on the thing, and how will I do it? And with children with some kind of a mental situation, for them even to, take them for taking a simple little shot is difficult because, Krishna's mercy, or, I do have a child who has a special need and is dependent and things like that. So I was just wondering, maybe that person was having some kind of they have diseases like schizophrenic and things like that. Mm. Which is so just correct me, Prabhuji, if I'm saying something wrong. I did a lot of volunteering with children with special need, and they are actually very innocent, very sweet, and they're very, it seems as they don't belong to this world, and if I think that they would ever, and any one of them would commit suicide, it doesn't cross my mind at all.
Yeah, okay, so I understand.
Sorry for mentioning that,
yes. I understand, so I have to tweak what I said a little bit. Mentally challenged, I could use a milder word and say he was actually a little crazy. So this wasn't a severe situation. First of all, he's not a child, he's an adult. Okay, yeah. And he just acts crazy sometimes. But it's not like he's mad that he's not in control of his mental faculties at all. He just, acts weird sometimes. And that's why the Buddhists didn't really like to be around him. Sometimes it can be a pain in the neck, that kind of person. So it was a mild situation, not like mentally, and I use the word mentally to myself to get you to think that he was like, he can't tell around. No, yeah, you could tell what he was doing. You could tell what he was doing, but he's unusual. He was just unusual, and that's why, so maybe the word is actually unusual. He was unusual, and therefore, the Buddhists didn't want to be around him or associate much with him. Because he just does too many things to motivate ignorance. So they didn't like him much that way. And so then he felt isolated. And that's why he committed suicide. And you see, Papa is making a point like he's left the full material energy consciousness to come to us. And we didn't treat him nicely. And now he's committed suicide. No, so he hadn't lost. This is not a situation of somebody who was so gone mentally that he can't tell what he's doing about it. Well, yeah, he could tell. He just was, devotees were uncomfortable with him. So that was the situation. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yes, I know, must be some kind of not challenge, but some sickness must be there or something.
Yeah.
So, and one more question comes often, and I forget the answer to this, so I have to keep asking, when we have heard that, Krishna, when you are in some kind of a situation where everything, you're losing. You're losing your people around you, you're losing money, you're losing everything, then it's actually special mercy of Krishna. So when we say this statement, is it for the fact that that Krishna doesn't want that particular person to be you know, like attached to the material world. So he takes things away. He creates a situation where there is misery, and of course there is also our own karma. So we can kind of turn to Krishna. That is a way to, you know, like how do we think of it as a mercy?
Mm. So when you were saying that, you kind of hinted on some of the answers to the question. When Krishna takes away, sometimes it's said, not sometimes, it's actually in the Shastra, that when Krishna wants to give the greatest favor, we talk about devotee, favor to devotee, then he takes away. That sounds like scary to quite a number of people, because we don't like to be in an inconvenient material situation, that you had material things and then Krishna took away. Now, what happens more often than not is when a devotee gets into a situation or finds himself in a situation where things have been taken away from them. It's difficult at that time, but Krishna is resetting that particular devotee's life, for lack of a better way to put it. Krishna is resetting that devotee's life. I have seen it happen to other people where Krishna took away. It happened to my family. Well, at the time we didn't have children, my wife, myself, where Krishna took away. And so I have personal experience of it. At the time that it's happening, it's not funny. But it always, 100% of the time, ends well. If the devotee does not lose faith in Krishna and says, why have you done this to me at the time it's happening, and decide not to be in Krishna consciousness, but get away from Krishna consciousness. Well, at that point, then you're back to the material nature, and, you know, whatever life that you want to do on your own to kind of adjust and go on, then you go on. That's unfortunate. But the real reason is Krishna is making an adjustment in the devotee's life, and when the person goes through it. So let's not, well, I was going to talk about the end part of it, but I won't get there yet. At that time, this is the part that you alluded to. When things are being taken away, you have nowhere to turn but to the Lord. So that's when the devotee screams for the Lord even more. Now, they may be screaming about things that are being taken away, material things that are being taken away, but still, they are focusing on the Supreme Personality of Godhead with such intensity as they've never done before. And we need that kind of intensity in our lives, in chanting normally. So sometimes, for some people, the Lord has to jumpstart that type of intensity by making it possible for them to get there. And he gets there by taking the material things away. And the Lord does a lot of things at once. Can do a lot of things at once. So in one sense, this person is being trained to increase their intensity of attachment to Bhakti Yoga and to the Lord. At the same time, Krishna is setting up a different situation for them. And they find out, this is what we found out, we means my wife and myself, found out that at the end of that period, that difficult period, Krishna has put us in a situation where we could serve him even better. In our situation, we moved from the state of Maryland to Pennsylvania, to Giranagari. And we started over, and it was like a big relief. We had very little left. But we had left Maryland, and so much anxiety had been left over there too. Because our lives were going on. We had a, you know, car. We had quite an expensive car. We had, you know, townhouse and all of that. All of that got taken away. And then we came, and we lived a very simple life with our spiritual master. And boy, we learned a whole lot. That's when our real education about Krishna consciousness, lifestyle at the Giranagari farm community started. Everything had been taken away. But we learned to this day, I know that was a time we benefited the most in spirituality. So Krishna, he put us in a situation where we would be closer to devotion. And so sometimes that's actually what's happening. And also, of course, at that time, you really, 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 unless you just snap and say, God is hating me, and so I'm not going to have anything to do with it. But if you stay in association of devotees, and devotees will comfort you when you're going through that. Not everybody goes through that, but those who go through that, comfort you. And so you'll be all right. You'll be all right in the end. I know a number of my God family members who also went through quite a bit of changes. So, you know, many of us have wound up in Gideon. Like, we had gone through Krishna taking away. So we all knew, nothing surprising to us. But every one of us would also say, so much benefit we got from now being put in a situation where we spend more of our time in Bhakti Yoga than we used to do. So we left the city and came to the farm community. Because farm community, you don't need that much to live on. It was a simpler thing, but it was also far more opportunity for us to be God conscious. So it's a blessing in disguise. It's a blessing in disguise. And the mistake that anybody can make when that happens is to leave Krishna. That's most unfortunate. Because you do, in fact, come to the crossroads. Materially, you feel like you're really being beaten. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? God is not going to help me. Krishna consciousness is too difficult. I'll just go find a job somewhere. I'll try to adjust on my own. Then you lost out. But when you pray to Krishna, Krishna would never let a devotee be down and out. He's already said, Namai Bhakta Pranashati. My devotee would never perish. So even if you feel down, you will never be down and out. And down is always temporary. Always. That's 100% temporary. Krishna is adjusting the period for that devotee's life. The period where they can become, in fact, more Krishna conscious. Now, that's not to scare anyone into, so it can be like that. So now I'm wealthy, and if I take Krishna consciousness seriously, Krishna is going to take away. Krishna is not that kind of personality. That as soon as you come to Krishna consciousness with some wealth, then he's going to take away and make you poor. No, there's adjustment that's made. It's not always that it takes material things away, but adjustments are made. And adjustments happen in people's lives. Sometimes it's not material. It's not the actual material things. Sometimes the situation, mentally, that will go through changes. But always there's an adjustment. One of the things that tends to happen a lot, because I was asked to by a couple in Philadelphia, to give some advice to them, and they were kind of surprised. They're from Bangladesh, and their friends were not associating with them to the extent that they used to, and their friends were non-devotees, and they've come to the Philadelphia temple, and everything is pointing, and it is talking about all the problems they have. But as they were telling me, you know, sitting and facing both of them, both nice young couple. The guy is doing a PhD, and his wife is with him, young couple, and everything that they talk about points to one thing only. Krishna is just pulling them more into spirituality and leaving the material things, but they couldn't see it though. So they kept asking, this has happened to us, and people don't talk to us much now in our communities. I'm asking questions for more clarity. And the only thing left to tell them is, but you come to the temple now. I also lost my Kami friends. Krishna has just put you here to get closer to him, and so you make new friends among devotees. That's all you have to do. In the temple, so many people are here. So how many people do you know? Do you come, do you do service? They say, yeah, sometimes we do. Well, the thing is, they tend to keep to themselves. I noticed that because I was there. And that shouldn't be. They should associate more with devotees. So that's the other part to help them to go. But this is sometimes, so this is takeaway of not money, but friends. Friends who are going to be involved, who they were involved at first in drinking and smoking and all those kind of things. Krishna is just cleaning them away, getting them away from those, getting him especially away from those kind of friends. So I said, actually, you're fortunate. Don't think you're going to miss those. And I said, I went through it too. I had my Kami friends. So, you know, we were living the lifestyle of having a girlfriend and all that kind of stuff, motor fashion stuff. All had to go. They all had to go. So I also broke up with my girlfriend at the time. You know, until I was not married at the time, I came to Krishna consciousness. We're not going to live the material life anymore. She was very traumatized, but I had to do it because this is, and she didn't come with me. So, well, too bad in one way. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but when you get to Krishna consciousness, that wonderful type of lifestyle, and you're going to leave it, then there's something wrong with you. You know, unless you can't tell how much benefit there is. So, yeah, you know, some of my friends, they just had to, some of my high school friends who questioned me, they're not with me. anymore. And so that type of adjustment is also sometimes necessary. It's not always, you know, Lakshmi or something. But when that happens, this, believe me, Krishna always knows what he's doing. He knows, we just have to trust. And if there is adjustment, they'll make the adjustment. Sometimes there is no adjustment, or sometimes there's an adjustment, but it's so light that you don't even feel it. And you just go on with Bhakti Yoga. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for sharing. Sometimes you share your own experience, which are very, very helpful to understand, you know, like the situation sometimes we are in. And also, I think today is Dashera too. So, today was the day, I think Lord Ram won the, you know, I just wanted to mention that. It says in the Ramchandra Vijayotsav.
Okay.
Which is nothing else but Dashera, right?
Hare Krishna.
So we don't celebrate in our ISKCON temple so much, but on the continent, Hindu temples, you know, they set up the whole thing and they burn the Shara and all that they do. So somebody was telling me that they don't do that because, you know, like Ravan, he was like, you know, the story between Jai and Vijay.
Yes.
So they were saying because of that, like I was asking, and somebody was asking questions regarding this, that why they don't celebrate in ISKCON as in Hindu temples. I mean, I don't know whether tomorrow, today or maybe on the weekend, they set up this whole thing, you know, with so many heads and, you know, like, and although they're not understanding a sense of it. A sense is basically that everything, all these bad qualities are lying in us, you know, where the 10 heads implement is different lust, anger.
Yes.
And now we have to gradually purify us through the process of bhakti. But, you know, they just go there and they will just, you know, enjoy the crackers and, one thing is good that they say it's like the win of the good over the evil. You know, that's what we hear among the Indian community or Hindu community, so to say. But we are so fortunate that we try to, through Srila Prabhupada and his books, we understand the sense of all these festivals and which ones are important we should celebrate, which ones we shouldn't celebrate. And, you know, even for the same reason, like Diwali also falls in the month of Damodar. And I'd heard that, I mean, we would do, like for years together when I was not in Krishna consciousness, we were doing like celebration of, you know, putting the diyas and, you know, they say, they would say Lakshmi would come and visit, you clean your house, make sweets, offer and this, that. But then later on I realized when I heard from devotees that, you know, actually that is the day when, you know, Yashoda was tied, you know, like Krishna was able, Yashoda was able to tie Krishna. That was the day. So, you know, that adds the Leela of Krishna to Diwali, and that makes it so nectarian that day, you know.
Yeah.
So, just wanted to mention that, but we're so fortunate to, you know, have like all the devotees and Srila Prabhupada in our lives and his books. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. The point, at one point I want to make is Srila Prabhupada has simplified a lot of what even Vaishnav sometimes go, you know, through our to do here on this earth. The one that's very obvious, me bringing 64 rounds down to 16 rounds. There were situations, there are situations that, you know, that Srila Prabhupada knows about, and still some of them he made the decision. He made quite a few decisions. Acharyas, sometimes they make changes based on what's needed around the world now. He's setting up an organization with all these different cultures, not the Hindi culture only, or those who know about it in India, but all around the world. So going into a situation like that to bring the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Bhakti Yoga, he's going to have to make some adjustments, and he made. And that's why sometimes, you know, some things in India was done, and you just lived, you were brought up to it, but Srila Prabhupada doesn't do it in his in these temples, because he still wants to keep the focus on Krishna consciousness, the bare necessities and the most important things, that he makes sure is there in every temple, that people, devotees need to understand about the 10 offenses and about, you know, the regulations and, I mean, the 4 rules and regulations and the way in which we have to serve, you know, the 10 offenses against the chanting of holy names. That's everywhere. That's everywhere. Those earn you the mercy to go back to Godhead. And then the rest of them, sometimes you put some of them in and sometimes not. But making sure that, you know, Radha Krishna, you know, Janmashtami, Radhashtami, the big ones are all part of, you know, ISKCON lifestyle. So yeah, he streamlined some things. He streamlined some types of celebrations that he knew would not keep devotees from going back to Godhead if they didn't celebrate that. And then he, you know, packaged it for the whole world. So he was a strategist in that sense. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And also, you know, I feel like I have tried so much to give Krishna consciousness to my previous friends who are coming from Hindu background.
Yeah.
And till today's date, they do not accept, because they are like, no, yeah, Krishna is one among them. And, you know, there's Ganesha, there's Lord Shiva, there's so-and-so.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you know, and there's another case I wanted to mention. There's this boy, you know, he'll keep dancing in a funny way. I think he's from China or somewhere. And for a long time, he would always say that he's in our Hare Krishna temple, but he'll say, Shiva is supreme, Shiva is the great, he's the greatest, you know, and he wears the Rudrash Mala. But what happened is, like, he's been regularly coming on Sundays and other days, and he's like a young boy who works in a store, you know, like in Orlando here, and when he comes to the temple now, yesterday I was like, I said, again he's going to say this to me, but I was so surprised that yesterday, because of association, he said that Lord Shiva is supreme, but he is meditating on Krishna, and some, I couldn't get the exact words, but he, when he said this, I was like, oh wow, finally this person has accepted it, you know, and I didn't even see him wearing the Rudraksh Mala anymore, and other than he, Lord Shiva still, but he says he's Param Vaishnava, and he's always meditating on Krishna, so, you know, and now he's still talking about Lord Shiva, but he has, you know, he has accepted it, that he is meditating on Krishna, he's a Param Vaishnava. So it's so amazing, and he's a little bit like, not a crazy guy, but, you know, you can't talk to him much, and he dances in a funny way, and, you know, he's like, but earlier he was like, he'll say this, however number of times you might say that, no, that is not true, that Shastras don't say that, but even not accept. But yesterday I was so surprised, and I actually realized that association of devotees can even change the mind of a person.
Absolutely.
Who is so strong about Lord Shiva.
Absolutely.
But somehow, like, just coming to the point, I kind of give up, because all my friends, most of them, you know, I mean, on yearly basis, I invite them when I have the Damodar Home program at that place, you know, devotees also come. But I know that it's like so hard to convince them. And, you know, they will not give the credit to Krishna, that he is the supreme.
Yeah.
Just not ready to give that to, you know. So anyway, it's, please keep trying, you know, our best to give them prasadam.
Yes, so yes, wonderful. Wonderful. You see, you said two things. First, about this particular person that was in a temple that thought that Shiva was the greatest, and now your own, you know, friends too that would not change from the Hindu practices before. Well, one, so we are most fortunate, you know, those who were doing the Hindu practices now, like you, now coming to Krishna consciousness. It's, as the saying goes, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. As they say here, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So some people, it will be like that. And again, you know, if they won't change and they are so attached to the other demigods, because maybe they know that they get these boons, material boons from them, and they just attach to the material world. What do they understand about the material world? They don't see the suffering. They just want wealth. And so, you know, they get it, and they think that Krishna, especially since the Shastra has not been presented correctly to them, you know, I've heard all kinds of things from Krishna, the 19th incarnation and the 8th one and this, on and on and on and on and on. Not realizing that when you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can appear in any order that you like. Lord Chaitanya is still God, but he's in the parampara, you know, and they were, you know, Madhvacharya and they were before him. Because it's like that. A great personality is coming. There's people who come before him, people who come with him, and people who come after him. All pure devotees. So he himself, Lord Chaitanya, inserted himself into the parampara. Does that mean everybody else is bigger than him? So that's the misunderstanding, or people misconstrue things. They just interpret it funny. But you can only have mercy on them. You show them the path. They don't want to do it. They have prasadam that will do its work. these people obviously won't go back to Godhead, because you don't believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot go back to Godhead. But you've done your part of feeding them prasadam, with giving them the mercy of the Lord. And over time, they will also change. It may take another lifetime for them to change. Just like this person who thought Shiva was, Lord Shiva was the topmost, he's been fortunate to change by association with devotees this lifetime. And now he's realizing that, oh, well, Shiva's always been meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now he's beginning to put two and two together. And that's what has been said too, that when people are around, devotees are around each other, we learn from each other. We learn from each other and grow from each other. We definitely have to be merciful and tolerant with each other, because the growth sometimes we shared, you know, our lower nature. But this person, you know, as you guys obviously tolerated him because he stayed in the temple, you didn't make him feel unwelcome. But now he's speaking, the truth is finally hidden by the mercy of the Lord, that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Say.
Thank you so much for your precious time, Prabhuji, for answering questions. Some Hare of them Krishna. Are like, you know, questions which are generally not even questions, just like some discussion on that.
Yeah, oh yeah, question and discussion is wonderful.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay.
Yeah,
I understand. Vanchakalpa Dhruvistya Kripa Sinvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki. Jai.
Thank you very much for your wonderful class, Prabhuji, today.
Krishna's mercy.
We'll be hearing from you tomorrow as well. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So tomorrow is 4:20:35 then. Jai. So tomorrow is 4:20:35. Actually, it's 4:20:35:36. 35:36 are together. Nina Mataji? Okay, just so you know. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, we can note that. Thank you so much. We look forward for, you know, hearing again tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Jai Shri Prabhupada.